Today, I'm joined in the studio by Tamblyn Lord, a professional voiceover artist based in Melbourne and represented by EM Voices. Tamblyn, thanks for joining me.
Cheers, Andy. Pleasure.
Tamblyn, can you describe your voice?
My voice probably is youthful. It's younger than my age, I guess. But also, it's more that familiar guy kind of next door, pushing towards the you know, the happy, excited, youthful retail that I sometimes do.
Okay. And how long have you been doing voiceovers professionally then?
Oh, I've been doing it since I was a kid. So I've been doing voiceovers for over 30 years.
Now, the last couple of voiceover artists that I have interviewed have come into doing voiceovers because they already had a job in commercial radio. So maybe some other area of the radio station and someone became part of their job or they just stumbled into it. Easy if you're in a radio station. But I believe your path might be quite different to this. So tell me how you got started then.
Well, my mum was friends with a couple of guys in South Melbourne that owned a studio, mm-hmm. a recording studio, and they were looking for a young voice to come in and voice a couple of ad campaigns for some sort of charity organisation. And I was doing a little bit of acting at the time because mum put us into an agency, the three kids. And yeah, from there, they asked me in and I kind of took to it, and it was back in the reel-to-reel days, so there was no digital.
Yeah.
And then from there, I was getting more young voices, and I really learnt the art of not only just taking direction of reading a script on the spot, but also being able to take direction on the spot as well whilst they were doing reel-to-reel. So it was a bit more timely trying to record and cut back on repaste everything than it is today.
Okay, and so were you also doing some, you were doing some acting work back then as well?
Yeah, I started doing acting and just little guest spots on TV like Carson's Law and Cop Shop and showing my age now. and then, yeah, little voiceover stuff along the way.
And do you still do acting work now?
Yep, not as much as I used to as a kid, but between that and the voices and I also teach yoga.
Okay, so and so how old were you when you did that first voiceover?
I was probably only about 12 or something, right. 10 or 11 maybe.
Did you find it easy to pick up work?
Oh, look, it's always been a case of fits and spurts. I found that in the last few years, the market has kind of not been as cottage industry as it and used to be that you get your foot in the door in the voiceover industry and you were kind of looked after. Mm. But now it's kind of it's open season really. You got to keep at them and there's a lot more competition and also the technology shifted. So yeah. People are doing their own recording and stuff. But over the years, I've been very fortunate and the voices has kind of been my mainstay while other acting jobs have come in and out, or I've had the space to be able to go and do my yoga teaching as well. Mm. But and I've had a couple of nice gigs where like at station announcing sort of stuff in Sydney when I was living up there. So that kind of helped have a regular income for a while.
And how long was it, you know, from doing, I guess, from starting out until getting signed on to an agent?
Well, the acting agency that I was with as a kid, they also agents for voices, so that kind of ran together. And I've pretty much, up until probably 12 or so years ago, or 15 years ago, I had the same agent that was voice and acting. But then, yeah, when EM Voices kind of went out on their own, that was when I was on my own as well. So I don't know, is that 15 years now? Maybe even more.
So how important do you think it is to have an agent for voiceover work?
Oh, look, I think it's very important because I'm not actually proactive enough in getting out and sourcing what the castings are or what have you. And I'm quite happy to let them take the 12% or whatever it is to kind of also do the other paperwork and payments and all that sort of stuff, sourcing out the invoices and everything. So, yeah, and they probably have their fingers across more pies than what I do on my own.
Now, I think one of the key factors in getting cast for any voiceover job can be your availability. Hmm. So how does that work out for you? Because I know you mentioned briefly there that you do you teach yoga. You can expand on that if you like. But how does that all sit in your world with all the other things you might do? You know, I know you're not just sitting around the house waiting for the agent to call.
Well, that's the nature of the freelance lifestyle in that your work comes in fits and spurts. You can, in this industry, and you've got to be ready perhaps to go on very short notice. Like I'll get a call from the agent and they say, "Can you be at Nova in an hour?" And you're like, "Well, yeah, okay." So you then have to let them know if you're going to be away for a period of time, or you do have stuff set that you should let your agent know that you're locked out for this time. You can't do anything. When I was younger, I used to be quite worried about missing out on things and
FOMO.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'd have to keep my time open, and as I've got older, I've actually become less worried about that, and it's my time, and if it works around.
Okay.
And if I need to juggle things, okay. But like with my yoga, I generally teach in the evenings or late afternoons and weekends. So I've got most of the day free to do the voices. And then, you know, if the acting work comes up, then I'll let the agent know that I'm locked in for this sort of day. And generally now I've got a rapport with the studios and stuff that unless it needs to be done now, the job, they'll work around my timing as well, which is great.
So, yeah, availability can be quite important. What else would you say are some of the most important qualities a voiceover artist should possess?
Definitely the ability to be able to read on spec and take direction on spec as well without taking it personally.
Yeah.
It's just a job. And to let things go. Like, you only see the script that day perhaps.
Yep.
You read it. You're reading by instinct and some direction. And then walk out of there and let it go. Don't stew on it and sit on it and reread it in your mind. I could have, should have done this or that. Just, yeah, be in the moment, be friendly, enjoy the process. Mm. And they're a pretty good bunch of people that work in this industry in front and behind the microphone. So, yeah, you can develop some good rapport and relationships. It's fleeting at times, yeah. But then you come back in a loop again and you see that same person every now and then. And, yeah, it's been very, very beneficial for me, and you know, financially as well as personally.
Okay. And finally then, what advice would you give to anyone who is expressing an interest in doing voiceover work? The idea has just come into their mind. Maybe they don't know much about the industry. What learnings can you impart?
Definitely microphone technique is really important. It's not as easy as it looks. Mm-hmm. And also to be quite proactive early on. Have a really good demo to hit the agents and studios with. And some variety in there as well, so you can show what sort of scale and range you have within your voice and character as well. So, but also let them hear the real you as well as the advertising you, yes, or the retail you or the caricature animated you.
Good tips there, Tamlin. Thanks again for joining me today.
Andy, cheers, mate.